Genesis chapter 44, verse 1. Hear now the very words of God. And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, "Fill the men's sacks with food as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth, and put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest, and his corn money." And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. And as soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their asses. And when they were gone out of the city, and not yet far off, Joseph said unto his steward, follow after the men, and when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, wherefore have ye rewarded evil for good? Is not this it in which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he divineth? Ye have done evil in so doing. And he overtook them, and spake unto them these same words. And they said unto him, wherefore saith my Lord these words? God forbid that thy servants should do according to this thing. Behold, the money which we found in our sacks' mouths we brought again unto thee out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of thy Lord's house silver or gold? With whomsoever of thy servants it be found, let both let him die, and we also will be my Lord's bondmen. And he said, now also let it be according to your words. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and ye shall be blameless. And they speedily took down every man his sack to the ground, and opened every man his sack. And he searched, and began at the eldest, and left at the youngest. And the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. And they rent their clothes, and laid at every man his ass, and returned to the city. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was there. And they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto them, what deed is this that ye have done? Wot ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine? And Judah said, what shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak, or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also, with whom the cup is found. And he said, God forbid that I should do so, but the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get you up in peace to your father. Then Judah came near unto him and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servants, saying, have ye a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one, and his brother is dead, and he is alone left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And thou saidst unto thy servants, bring him down unto me, that I may set my eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, the lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. And thou saidst unto thy servants, except your youngest brother come down with you, ye shall see my face no more. And it came to pass, when we came up unto thy servant my father, we told him the words of my Lord, and our father said, go again and buy us a little food. And we said, we cannot go down if our youngest brother be with us. Then we will go down, for we may not see the man's face except our youngest brother be with us. And thy servant my father said unto us, ye know that my wife bare me two sons, and the one surely went out from me, and I said, surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. And if ye take this also from me, and mischief befall him, ye shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now, therefore, when I come to thy servant, my father, and the lad be not with me, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. And thy servants shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant our father with sorrow to the grave. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord. and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father?" Thus ends the reading of Genesis chapter 44. Well, so we have in this chapter, in the first section, Joseph is pursuing yet this prophetic course to bring the brothers, bring his brothers to repentance. And we see that it is a very effective course. He continues his trial. It may seem that he is deceitful here and blameworthy, and while this has been held by some, I rather think he's guided by the prophetic influence for the trial and reclamation of his brethren. The Lord has a course here that he is pursuing with the brothers of Joseph, and he will pursue it to attend and bring them to repentance. And so the first thing I want you to see here is that we have a faithful father who will not allow his children to go on in sin, but will, through the course of his providence, his mastery over all things, cause them to be brought to the place of repentance. Otherwise, he would not be a faithful father. So when you sin and you refuse to admit it, you refuse to repent, you refuse to turn from it, even though you know it's wrong, keep this in mind. The Lord will pursue you because He loves you. He will bring you to repentance. And keep in mind also that early repentance is better than late repentance. Early repentance is better than late repentance. When we visited New Jersey, Joanna and I, and visited the old Tenet Church, out of which grew the Log College, out of which grew Princeton Seminary in the days of Princeton's orthodoxy and glory. There was a slab stone out in the graveyard for the youngest of the Tenet brothers. You know what was written on that young man's tombstone, because he died a young man? On that young man's tombstone was written this: "His life was a testimony to the wisdom of early repentance and to the great judgment of neglecting early repentance." You don't want that on your tombstone. You want early repentance. Joseph's brethren have been hiding this sin for years and years. There is no early repentance with them. And so this heart-rending scene we have, imagine the look on their face when they're out a short way from the city and they're overtaken by the servant of Joseph, and he says, "Show me your sacks. You've stolen something, you thieves." And they say, "No, we have not." And yet they had. Imagine the shock that they underwent, and the stress and the fear, and all of those things will accompany you, my dear brothers and sisters, if you do not apply for early repentance, but rather wait and coddle those little darling sins of yours until they grow into something monstrous that must be excised by the knife of the spiritual surgeon. Early repentance. The choice of Benjamin by Joseph is critical. Not because he has a special place in his heart for him, although he does, but that's not why he chose him. He chose him because he is trying the brothers to see if they are still resentful of the covenant choice of their father. Because the Lord, through Jacob, had chosen Joseph to have the right of primogeniture, to be the covenant child, when Joseph disappeared, that right fell to Benjamin. And so Joseph puts the cup in Benjamin's sack so that when he is found with it, he will see how his brothers behave. A few years back, if someone had said, we're going to take Joseph from you and make him our bondservant, what would they have said? Yippee! In fact, they didn't wait for someone to say that. They sold him into slavery instead. Joseph, remembering all of this, is saying, okay, I'll put the cup in Benjamin's sack and I'll make him my bondservant and we will see if they have learned repentance or no. Further, it was that very son that would be the most affecting to his brothers. This trial in which they must choose their father's preference and faithfulness to the covenant against their own desires and designs, he is brought to acute crisis in finding the cup in Benjamin's sack. So then, in the next section, verses 18 through 33, we have the trial in front of Joseph. Let's say a few things about that. First of all, Joseph causes them to be brought before them, and Judah takes the lead in the discussion. And he says, oh my Lord, we are guilty. We will all be your bondservants. Notice that this is a long way from where these brothers had been. They are now repenting of something that they don't think they're guilty, and yet they're still repenting, whereas they would never have repented for selling Joseph into slavery. They lied to their father and so on. But then what happens is even more affecting. What we see at this next point then is Joseph says, nay, far be it from me to do that. Benjamin will be my bondservant, and the rest of you may return. And then we have this full and honest and heartfelt speech by Judah to Joseph, which is a pure sign of his repentance. And so he simply opens his heart and tells him everything, which he would not have done without this course that the Lord had pursued through Joseph. And so Judah says, finally, let me stay instead of Benjamin. How can I disappoint my father and his will to this extent? A few short years ago, he was certainly willing to do that. Now, he has come full circle, willing rather to give up his own freedom. Now, what was Judah giving up? What do you think Judah thought he was giving up? His own place in the land of promise. His own offspring. Judah was giving up everything for the sake of his brother Benjamin to be able to go home. That's where Judah has come. We cannot undervalue repentance. We cannot undervalue repentance. Listen, our pride tells us no need. We're forgiven anyway in Christ. Our forgiveness does not hinge upon our repentance. We can't know or confess every sin we've ever done. We can't know or confess or repent from every sin we've ever done. So it's not such a big deal. In the words of the preacher, balloon juice. Repentance is one of the most important things you must do. You must repent of your sins. There, you cannot expect any forgiveness from God without repentance. Now, He may forgive you in Christ. You may be one of His. And you may get in, like the Apostle says, as through fire. But you cannot expect forgiveness without repentance. So, if you're harboring sin, if you're lying about sin to yourself and to those around you, if you're coddling sin, if you're hiding it, if you're harboring it, if you're keeping it, know this, You cannot expect forgiveness apart from repentance. Don't expect it. The Lord may grant it, but don't expect it. What did Judah do here? In this honest speech before Joseph, he did what? He came clean. He gave all of his heart. How many times have you seen your parents ask one of your brothers or sisters something, and you know the right answer, and you see them dance around the answer because they don't want to come clean? How many times have you seen that? Or how many times have you yourself not come clean when you've been asked direct questions? You've come back with a question and said, you've avoided the question, you've trotted the question out here and all the way back and never answered it. You've not come clean. You have not repented. You've rather excused, coddled, and denied your sins. If you do that, remember that the Lord is a faithful Father and He will bring you to a crisis of repentance if that repentance is late, and that you cannot expect forgiveness without repentance. What does John say? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, don't interpret that verse as understanding that your forgiveness is hinged upon whether or not you confess your sins. If it were, none of us would ever go to heaven. We can't know all of our sins. We cannot confess all of our sins. We sin daily in thought, word, and deed, and many times in ignorance, and we will be ignorant of that to the rest of our lives. We will stand before Christ on the judgment day, and He will show us those sins of which we were ignorant, and we will be aghast at our sins. But that in no way mitigates your responsibility to confess and forsake all known sin. Because the other thing that John says is, he says, if we say we have not sinned, we are a liar and the truth is not in us. You see what John is telling us to do? So confess, forsake your sins, be clear of them, come clean, stop lying, turn from your sin. Do not undervalue repentance. So with that, let's stand and continue calling upon the Lord in the singing.